Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all this morning. Are there any announcements you'd like to share with the congregation? Any announcements at all? Ruth has one here.
Just a reminder that relief sale is coming up beginning of April, and if you have any coins, put them down in the jar. Thank you.
Any others? Just to mark down in your calendars, next week is daylight savings time starts, so remember to turn your spring forward. So turn your clocks back so you don't miss our service. And a note is for the worship this morning. There's two hymns in the service that are maybe a little unfamiliar. So number 386 and 560. Becky will be playing through the 560 one. Will be playing through the whole song, and we'll skip the a cappella verse also. So, but it's a very pretty song, and I think we'll all catch on pretty easily. And the same with the 386. Okay, I'd like to call you to worship this morning. Read along in the your bulletin. Together we seek the way of God. We crave the safety of God's shelter. God offers the care of angels. God is generous to all who call on the holy name. So come, let us seek God's way of generosity. Let us pray. When the fruit from the soil springs forth and ripens, and the laughing trees seem to bow before us, may we remember that a wandering Aramaean was our ancestor. May we remember that the earth is yours, O God, and that our dwelling place is only a tent. Our security is in you and your way. May your winds rattle our walls and shake our false sense of security. May we walk with Jesus as we seek your way while he turns from the temptation to rule the world and turns toward those who cry out in their affliction, toil, and oppression. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all rise and sing hymn number 110, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
The first scripture this morning is found in Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's page number 727. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Let's all bow for the offering prayer. O God, you are our God. We seek you. Our soul thirsts for you. Our flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land. Yet we have seen your glory. Your steadfast love has poured over our lives. Our lips sing your praise. We will bless you as long as we live. Through the breath you have given the words that we utter, the work of our minds and hands, and the gifts of our inheritance, we give back to you so that all may sit in the shadow of your wings and share the joy of your abundance. Amen. And you can place your offerings in the plate at the back of the sanctuary. The second scripture this morning is found in Romans 10, verses 8 through 13. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Good morning, Upper Milford Mennonite Church. It's good to be with you again. Missed you guys. Hope you missed me a little bit. Just want to give you a quick update with the Marshall Street property that you helped us purchase. We're already in our second phase. It's been completely gutted, and we've installed almost all the windows and the front door so far. There is an issue with the back kitchen that possibly one of the walls that need to be removed, but it's moving along, and we couldn't do that without your help. So truly, truly grateful for all your support in that area and everything you do for us at the community center on a regular basis. So just want to come and say thank you so much. I want to call your attention to the scripture here, verse 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. And I want to use for a subject preaching in a few minutes. We will not be ashamed. We will not be ashamed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we truly lift up your high and your holy name. And as we sang just a few seconds ago, we come just as we are. All our struggles, all our strife, all our imperfections, we come to you this way, and you love us this way. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you that in your precious Son, Christ Jesus, we will not be put to shame. So, Heavenly Father, what is preaching without your power? What is it without your strength? Heavenly Father, you know I've studied, but I still need your strength. I prepare, but I still need your power. Anoint these lips of clay to speak as your mouthpiece. Anoint me to preach. Anoint us to hear. Anoint us to receive and apply this word to our everyday life. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We live in a very troubling time as believers. It appears we move from plague and pestilence to wars and rumors of wars without a break or without a pause. In the midst of this, Scripture clearly admonishes us to activate endurance in our personal lives and corporately as the church to remain steadfast in faith in the midst of the turbulence we are experiencing in this present world. While all of this is going on, it has become almost fashionable for many people who once claimed to be followers of Christ to move from deconstructing Christianity to flat out walking away and rejecting Christ. As we watch these events unfold, it is scriptures like 1 John 2:19 that should echo in our minds. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. It is important for us As the scripture says in Hebrews 10:25, to let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is a very crucial time that we live in. We should not be falling off, but we should be drawing close to Christ and one another. This is necessary because these attacks on the church and on believers is an attempt from the enemy to cause us to become ashamed of our faith. The enemy wants to highlight the mistakes of those who claim to represent Christ in the past. The enemy wants to show that Christianity and the Bible is an antiquated and archaic faith that in the age of scientific enlightenment is not necessary today. And all these attacks are an attempt to make the believer ashamed of the faith. But my response to the fiery darts of the devil is the Apostle Paul's statement in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is the message I want us to receive today. Because of the transforming power of the gospel that we have experienced, we will not be ashamed. We may make some mistakes, but we will not be ashamed, because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We may indeed go through some suffering, but we will not be ashamed. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. In our scripture today, in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he is proclaiming the fact that the word is near you. He says it is in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. This is my first point. The preaching and the teaching of the word of God. It's necessary for growth and encouragement. It don't matter if you're 9 or you're 99. It's the preaching of his word and the teaching of his word that is necessary for us to grow as believers and to remain encouraged. I was a few minutes late because I didn't want to get gas in the city. It's $5. So I said, let me get as far up country as I can get to try to find a cheap gas station. And the card I just activated for Crossroads wasn't working, so I had to pull that out and use my own card. But I made it here. I've been to the grocery store. I see how high the prices are. I see what's going on. We see what's going on in Ukraine and wars and rumors of wars. But I'm reminded in scripture that the scripture says these are only the beginning of birth pains. I know the prophets are bringing all kind of doom and gloom, and we understand why. But we as Christians are admonished to continue to occupy and build the kingdom as we see the day drawing near. We need preaching and we need teaching to continue to grow through the midst of everything we see and to continually remain encouraged. God's word must be in our hearts, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth should speak. If all you're doing is feasting on CNN and MSNBC and Fox, that's what's going to get down in your heart. If you're watching hours and hours of what's going on in Ukraine, I'm not saying don't be informed, but if you're spending too much time on that and not enough of the word of God getting into your heart, then you're going to remain in a state of frustration and fear. But if we let God's word get into our heart, let it take root there and begin to grow, out of the abundance of your heart, you will begin to speak faith-filled words and be an encouragement to one another, even as these days get darker and darker. We're saved by His word, but we're also sustained by His word. Sometimes we look at the Gospels and at times we can feel as though, oh, I heard that story before. I understand that application. I've heard that before. And you're saved as a babe. But listen, the word of God still exists, not just to save you, but to sustain you in this dark and evil world. The word of God is easy enough for a child to understand, but it's still deep enough for a theologian to drown in. Feast on His word. Jesus is Lord. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus rose again. Jesus is in heaven as our high priest. Jesus is present with us through the Holy Spirit. And because of this reality, we do not need to be ashamed of COVID. Set things up to try to separate us. I read it earlier. As the day is drawing near, we don't need to be like others who don't meet together. No, we need to come together on Sundays. Come together for encouragement, for fellowship, to lift up the high and holy name of Jesus Christ. This is what sustains us. Second thing is this. Text was dealing with the reality that there is no longer a line of distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. And one of the enemy's tricks and traps and snares in this present time is to divide us as people, to divide white people from people of color, to divide us along political lines, to try to separate us, to have us polarized, to have us at each other's throats, but not for the church of God, not for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. The wall of separation in Christ Jesus has been torn down. We are one people in Christ Jesus. No distinction. One Lord, one gospel, one baptism. We all consume of one loaf and one cup in communion. We're one as a people. The line of demarcation has been torn down, so we would not be put to shame for trusting Jesus. There's a well-known Christian rapper, one of the pioneers of early Christian rap. Very educated brother, very sharp brother from North Philly. Just came out and has rejected the faith totally. Totally, just he doesn't believe no more. There's a whole lot of people that we're dealing with now. I'm talking about people of color who are rejecting the faith because they thought the evangelical church and more white evangelicals should have spoke out for social issues, and they should have spoke out for different things where people of color has felt oppression. And I understand, but though none come with me, still I will follow. Even if we go into history to see what separates us, you don't abandon your faith. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that got many African Americans through slavery and through Jim Crow. You don't abandon your faith. These are things that's going on today. But as a person of color, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the same for the oppressor and the oppressed. The sins of both have been covered When confession is made, we may have some things to work at and some things to work towards. But it is because of the gospel and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have the power to work at these things and work towards a goal to bring unity to the body of Christ. Then this text speaks of equality. It says in Christ, these walls have been torn down and he lavishes his glory upon all. He lavishes, the scripture says, riches on all of us. It says, the Lord bestows riches on all who call on him, and all who call on him will be saved. We know these riches is speaking spiritually, but it's also speaking physically. It's saying there should be equality in the Bible, all through scripture. Those who had shared with those who did not have, so that equality can take place in the body. I'm here to tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to everything we're facing in this country and in this world. Jesus is still the answer. You might do some things to deconstruct the church. And we can admit everything the church has done has not always been right. But you're not going to deconstruct the gospel. The gospel has stood the test of time. Jesus is still Lord of all. Everyone who accepts Christ, the Lord bestows riches on those who call on him. And all who call on him will be saved. The world may criticize us. We won't be put to shame. We read the book. We know we win. We win. We don't have to be ashamed. It seems like there's an effort to make us ashamed to call ourselves Christians. I deal with the youth at the center, and I've been challenging them with wisdom, to walk in the wisdom of Christ every day in their life. And there's a shame that takes place. And I tell them, I said, listen, what happens? Y'all come from Camp Middleland and y'all on fire. You can't stop singing the camp song around the center. Y'all push us to make things feel more like camp in the summertime. But soon as school starts, soon as a little bit of persecution comes, soon as you experience a little bit of suffering, you have to remind them that the mountaintop experiences are great. That's what things like Meadowland is. It's a mountaintop experience. A retreat is wonderful. It's a mountaintop experience. In fact, Jesus showed us a mountaintop experience when he took Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured before them, and they seen him, and they knew in a fresh way. But they couldn't stay on the mountaintop forever. They had to come back down into the valley. And I'm trying to work with the youth. You're going to learn to walk with Christ right here in North Philly, right in your high schools. The devil tries to make it seem like it's old-fashioned, it's antiquated. Now listen. I respect everybody. But this is 2022. And the Muslim kids go right to high school with a full garb on. And the kufi on their head. And the young ladies wearing the headdress. Nothing wrong with them. That's the culture they embraced. And these ain't Arabics who just moved over here. These African Americans and Latinos who converted to Islam. And they are not ashamed to wear those garments. They're proud of it. They're proud to tell the school we need our own room to pray. They're proud of it. Why is there an attack on our faith? Why do the youth feel as though it's antiquated and it's old and they're ashamed of it? You have to challenge them. You got to motivate them. You got to encourage them. to let them know you don't have to be ashamed of the gospel, because the scriptures does say this: if you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed of you on the last day. Let the world criticize us. In Christ, we will not be put to shame. Wow, what do you mean by that? Shame has to do with judgment. Shame has to do with condemnation. There is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. We will not be put to shame on the last day, because we know what we believe is true. We placed our faith in the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some may leave us. I believe some of this is going to get worse and worse, and we're going to see more mega church pastors get caught up in scandal. It's going to keep happening. We're going to see more deconstructionists come out and say they no longer believe. As the day approaches, this is going to continue to happen. But we are to use endurance to push forward. We may be ostracized, but not put to shame. We want to be more and more like Jesus Christ. This is why we look at him perpetually. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus. That's what your devotion life is about. That's what your prayer life is about. That's what you diving in scripture is about. Looking to Jesus. I told you, did you forget me? He's one image, but he's many dimensions. He is your good shepherd, and you're the sheep of his pasture. He is your true vine, and you're the branch that will bear much fruit. He is the ox that when you yoke yourself to him, he'll do the heavy lifting in your life. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is a balm in Gilead to bring healing to our bodies. Looking to Jesus, one image, but many dimensions. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Get this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, thinking little of the shame. There was shame involved, but Jesus carried it for you. Oh, we're getting close to Easter. There was shame involved on Good Friday when his back was ripped open. There was shame involved when they placed a crown of thorns upon his head, when they pulled out his beard, when they spit upon him. He thought little of that shame to save and to redeem us. He despised the shame so that we don't have to be ashamed of him. Because he despised the shame. He's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Because he despised the shame, we don't have to be ashamed, because shame has to do with judgment. But for those who endure to the end, we want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. God bless you.
Would you please join me in the prayer of confession found in your bulletin? Holy One, we seek you while you may be found.
We call on you while you are here.
Have mercy on us, O God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts, and our ways are not your ways. As we walk with Christ on this Lenten journey, let us see your way more clearly.
And
and follow your way more faithfully. Hear these words of assurance. Blessed are we whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are we whose sins our God does not count against us. God's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Holy One. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let's all rise and sing hymn number 386, As Saints of Old. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Beloved friends, in this season of repentance and healing, we accept God's invitation to be ever mindful of the needs of others, offering our prayers on behalf of God's community in the church and in the world. Be with the Ukrainian people this morning, Lord. Protect them. And be with all of us as we figure out how we can help them in their time of need. Fill us with your strength to resist the seductions of our foolish desires and the tempter's vain delights, that we may walk in obedience and righteousness, rejoicing in you with an upright heart. Amen. Would you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Would you all please rise and receive the blessing? From this time and place into whatever weight awaits, may you follow God's way of generosity. May you release whatever you hold in fear so that you may be free to live generous lives. As you go, know that our God of the wilderness remains with you on the way. Amen.